Before I go into the message, how many know that this year's a leap year? Okay, a couple of you, okay. That means we have a February 29th, and that day is on a Saturday, I think, unless I looked at the calendar wrong. So God's given us an extra day this year. I like us as a church to think of something that we can do in the community on February 29th. Amen. To be a blessing, you know, to this community. So kind of think about it, pray about it. Well, pray about it and then think about it, right? That's probably the proper way. But do that, and then we'll see if we can't maybe get some ideas on how we can maybe be a blessing to somebody on that day. So God give us an extra day, so we might as well use it for His glory. Amen? All right, so we're going to look today at the topic of 2020 vision, and the main theme today is talking about having to have fresh eyes, fresh eyes. Now, most of us has probably been in the thick of battle from time to time. We've got a lot of things going on, and as you get into the situation, you get into project, you know, sometimes it just seems like our progress just kind of stalls. You know what I mean? You're kind of pushing, but yet it just seems like you've hit a plateau and you don't know what to do about it. You know, maybe you're tired. Maybe you just need motivated. And sometimes you just need a fresh perspective on the situation or a fresh set of eyes. Now, I think our walk with the Lord can get that way sometimes. To me, like I mentioned, the new year is a fresh start. The new year, what I do at home, I throw away stuff. You know, I keep papers everywhere. You know, Steph, well, I might need that, or I might want to look at that. Finally, if I haven't looked at it and January 1st comes around, that's my day where I just start getting rid of stuff. I don't want that old stuff around no more. It wasn't important before, so why is it important now? I just kind of want to get a fresh start. And I think, you know, in our walk with God, you know, we need to think about, you know, the things that are important and the things that aren't really important. And we need to make that separation. Now, as we walk our walk with God, you know, we need to do the out with the old and in with the new. And to me, the new is we need 2020 vision in 2020. And that's why I brought my glasses today, you know, to be able to see. I can't pull these off like Jason does it. But anyway, these are old, 3D glasses. We took the lenses out. But anyway, wouldn't it be nice to be able to put on a pair of glasses like that and you could see into the future? You know, you just put them on, you can say, oh, wow. You know, that's what's going to happen. This is what I need to do. But it doesn't work like that, does it? You know, God is the only one who really knows our future. You know, 3D glasses or, you know, futuristic glasses, they're not going to cut it. You know, like I've always said, we can see to the corner, but God can see around the corner. And so that's why we need to tap into God. Scripture we're going to look at today is Proverbs chapter 29. This is going to be a series we're going to do for a few weeks called 2020 Vision. Proverbs 29:18 in the New American Standard. I'm going to read it in that and then the Amplified. It says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Then Amplified Version says, where there is no vision, meaning no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, is blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit today. We thank you for your prophetic word being brought forth today. Lord, right now we just want to see what it is you want us to see. We want a fresh set of eyes on what it is you've called us to do in the last days. Lord, we know this is not just a new year, but it's a new decade. Lord, it's a good time that we can reinvent ourselves and to be something different. Maybe we don't like what we was, but Lord, we know that we want to be who you want us to be and step into that destiny. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. All right, the first point I want to look at today is that vision equals revelation. If you look this word up in the Hebrew there, that's what it's talking about. And what vision does, we all need it from time to time. We need it all the time. But it motivates and moves us to do what God's asking us to do. God is asking us each to do something in our life. Some of our things are similar, but some of them are very different. You know what God has called us to do. God has a special plan. He has something special for you to do. And we need to be part of God's plan because I found out in my life, the only way that you find true fulfillment is to step into your destiny with God. You know, a lot of times we're fussing and fighting and we're just trying to, you know, make a life and do what we feel we want to do. And I did that for several years. But not until I yielded to God's destiny for my life did I finally find peace in my life. Did you know you can be a Christian but yet not have peace, even though the Prince of Peace lives inside of you? See, the way we find peace, I remember when my wife and I, oh, she's still here, I got to watch what I say, dang. There went that illustration. Let me get another. No. She used to say I just used to pace the house like a tiger. I would just pace around. I was born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-casting, you know, word-reading machine, you know. I was into God, but I hadn't stepped in to the fulfillment of what God wanted me to do. And as soon as I did that, made that one little small degree of change, peace flooded my soul. I don't pace the house anymore. I'm at peace with where I am with God. And see, that's worth something. But see, I had to get a divine revelation from God about what He wanted for my life. And when I did that, things started to really fall in place like the pieces of a puzzle. So we need that divine revelation. You know, we live in a broken world, and we usually view things through that brokenness, and that's our problem. You know, the world is broken. The god of this world, Satan, just brings all kinds of chaos and all kinds of problems and all these different things, you know, into this world. You know, God never meant for sickness to come into this world. He never meant for disease or to poverty and lack. All these things were not God's intended in the Garden of Eden. God intended for man to be able to walk in His blessing all the days of his life until man sinned against God. And it opened the door for the devil and his kingdom to come in to start to rule and reign. And right now, we're caught in the middle of a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light. I mean, the kingdom of darkness. Ooh, that was a close one. I about met that wrong. But we are the kingdom of light. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of light. There we go. But anyway, the idea that we're in this battle, and yet there's all this chaos going on around us. And that's why we need that divine revelation from God. Something that only God can give you. I can tell you a lot of good ideas. But I'll tell you what, God can give you a divine revelation of what it is that He has for your life. You know, we all need a fresh set of eyes. And with that fresh set of eyes, I believe it helps to find, you know, what's our reason? Do we have a reason? You know, do you know your reason? What makes you go to work? I know bills and poverty and all that, but what really drives you? What makes you get out of bed? What makes you feel like you want to have purpose and make a difference in this life? We need to find that out, and we can only find that when we get connected to God. God is the Creator. He's the one who made us. He's the one who put us on this planet. Just at this time, you were born. I always felt I was born 20 years late for my type of temperament and everything. You know, I miss the good old days sometimes. But I have to adapt. I have to let the Spirit of God change me and make me think different to be able to reach a lost and dying world that doesn't want to hear a message that I have. So I need to come up with ways and ideas, and so I have to have a reason. Now, the scripture here talks about the idea that without vision, it says perish, but also that word is talking about unrestrained. Unrestrained means to let go or to let alone or to be naked or uncovered. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but bear with me here. We're gonna cipher this out a little bit. What that's talking about, see, we need a spiritual covering in our life. That's why you need to be a part of a local church, you know. And as you're a part of a local church, the pastor gift inside of me gives you a spiritual covering under God. You know what I'm saying? To some people in this building, I'm Pastor Brad. To others, I'm Brad. You know what I mean? The ones I'm Pastor Brad, I'm able to speak spiritually into their life a lot of times because they recognize not me, but the gift that God's put inside of me as a shepherd. Amen. And with that shepherd anointing, it brings protection and brings direction. And God has put inside of me those abilities to be able to speak into your life. Now, those who just want to, you know, pussyfoot around or play cat patty cake or whatever the case may be, I love them too. But in those who don't accept that gift in me, I can only help them so much. I can only take them a little ways until they finally come to the conclusion of what it means to be under a covering. And see, that covering here, God wants to be here, he's talking about, is the idea is when we submit ourselves to the Word of God. See, the children of Israel, from time to time, they would just go off and do what they wanted to do, got in trouble with God, God would send them into captivity, then they would humble themselves, then they would come back, and they would start serving God's word and doing what God says until finally they got, you know, just got tired of that, and then they'd go off and do what they wanted to do, and then they'd go into captivity again. Has anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe they're living a life like that now. You don't have to go into captivity. God has made a way that we can be able to walk with Him and in His blessing, and we stay under that covering. Yes, there's going to be attacks, but the greater one lives inside of us. See, absence of vision or revelation will bring chaos and disorder to our life. Every time we pull back from God, things get really confusing. See, without revelation from God, people will abandon themselves to their own sinful ways. We have a sin nature in our life. And yeah, you know, we battle it from time to time. Nobody's perfect. Jesus is the only one. But yet we have these things in our life. But, you know, if we're continually getting that revelation from God and heading towards Him instead of away from Him, then we start to walk in victory. And then we start to get the blessing of God in our life. To me, you know, vision is a moral restraint to keep us from drifting into trouble when we submit ourselves to God's word. I'll give you an example. You know, when we do something, if we know that God has revealed to us in His word that something is wrong, but yet we choose to do it anyway, we start to drift. You know what I'm saying? So if we want to not drift away from God and we want to stay close to God, then we need to be able to say, well, God's word says that, I'm going to make this choice. I'll just use a little one, you know, stealing. I mean, you shouldn't steal, right? I mean, I think we'll all agree with that's a no-no, you know. But let's say, you know, you want it, but you ain't got no money for it. So you kind of sneak it. But you know it's wrong to steal. Well, you're starting to drift there. But on the other hand, if you know you want it and you really want to have it, but you say, no, God's word says that's wrong, plus I don't want to go to jail, that's another point, right? And you don't do it, well, you just trained your flesh and you put it down. Because you did what God says instead of what you want to do. And that's how we start to grab a hold of some of the things that God wants us to have. You know, a lot of times, you know, to me, vision is that lifeline that keeps us connected to God's plan. You know, I read a story, a Sunday school teacher, and we need to pray. You need to pray for our Sunday school teachers and super church teachers. You know, they're doing a great work for God. And if you have kids in there, and if you don't have kids in there, you need to pray for them that God will give them fresh, because they're working a full-time job and they're putting these messages together. You know, we have curriculum, but still it takes a little bit of effort, so pray for them. But this Sunday school teacher told her class one day, she says, I want you guys to write a letter to God this week and then bring it back to class. Well, they did that. And little Billy come back the next Sunday and he read his letter. He says, Dear God, we had a great time at church last Sunday. Wish you were there. That's the way our life is sometimes. You know, we're having a great time. We're doing all the things maybe we're supposed to do. But God is not there because we don't have that vision, that divine revelation of what God wants us to tap into, you know, for our lives and for our community and our country and our world. Amen. All these things, you know, all flow together. You know, the problem, and I'm just wanting to throw this out there, many times Christians don't know how to make a good decision. Because there's a difference between consumer-driven and spiritual-driven. And what happens then is we look in the natural. You know, a consumer-driven decision is one that we look at in the natural and we think that, well, maybe I need to do this because it benefits me, you know, in whatever way, maybe fun-wise or maybe money-wise. So we make this decision instead of praying and really asking God, what would you have me do? You know, I remember, it's been about 20 years ago, I talked to a guy and, you know, and he told me this story. This one contractor had moved to town and he was asking this other contractor, you know, which church to go to? What's a good church? And he says, there's only two churches in town that have the most people. And I'm not going to mention the two. Because they're my competition. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't think I should. But anyway, He said this one or that one because that has the most people. If you want your business to grow, you have to go to one of these two churches. Didn't say nothing about praying, asking God. God, where do you want me and my family? What's the best for us? And the guy made that decision, and, you know, I don't think he's in business here anymore. But anyway, that's consumer-driven. Now, that spiritual-driven is mean that you set aside a little bit of time and ask God to direct. I mean, you may not feel you hear from God all the time. I mean, God just doesn't, you know, in my opinion, I mean, sometimes he speaks to some prophets, but I mean, sometimes they pizza late at night too, some of them, with some of the things they've said I've heard. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I've heard that. But, you know, the idea of, you know, just praying, God, I want what you want for my life. And just trust he's going to start guiding you. Ask him to come into your life that way. Because if we don't have a plan, as we follow God in our life, it usually ends up costing us time or money. I want to talk about limiting beliefs. I'm throwing a few things, like this is a kitchen sink thing, or, you know, everything but the kitchen sink message here. But I want to talk about limiting beliefs. I just want to graze on this now, because I believe this year I'm going to probably do a small series on it. And limiting beliefs is probably one of the greatest enemies that you and I have operating in our life. We're not aware of them sometimes, but what it is, it's our perspective of when we get into a situation of how we respond to that. Do we see promise and blessing, or do we see fear and we pull back? And we may not be aware of it, but we have these limiting beliefs. Maybe we feel that God has failed us before. Maybe we feel that we have failed God before. Maybe we feel that God's too busy to take care of our stuff. So then we go into that situation, we assess that situation, and we just kind of say, oh, I'll just stay where I am. You know, if Abraham would have done that, see, Abraham called God to go to another place. He'd never been there before. But God had called him out. He heard from God directly. He didn't say, hey, I want to get away from my parents. You know what I mean? I don't like living around mom and dad no more, so I want to go over to a new place and start my own thing. No, he actually heard from God, and God told him to go. See, there's a difference right there. And see, we need to make sure we've heard from God. So I believe that we need to be able to understand, and that's why we need each other. You know, my wife corrects me, and I correct her. When we say something that's, you know, maybe not right, we're not looking at it right. I mean, we don't do it a lot because we want to stay married, you know what I'm saying? You know, but I mean, we pick our battles just like every couple does, right? You know, so you need to kind of understand. But yeah, you know, if you're saying stupid stuff, you need to be told. Amen? And you need to take it like a man or a woman of God. All right, my next point is different perspective. So this is going to be gooder or better. Okay, gooder's my word. Better is probably the most English word. Okay, new year, we need a fresh set of eyes. Now, one of the most sought-after surgeries I read is LASIK surgery, eye surgery. I had that. It frustrated me that I couldn't see anything when I woke up in the morning. You know, I went through that phase for a while when they had them new contacts that came out and you could sleep in them. You know, those, some of them, they're better now. But back in the 80s, man, you know, way back in the 80s when I was doing it, you know, those kind of irritated your eyes. But one of the biggest blessings that I remember was the fact when I woke up, I could actually see in HD the veins in a plant. I still remember that after my surgery because I could see clearly now. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse 12, talks about, he says, now I see through a mirror dimly. See, back then they didn't have the fancy mirrors like we have. It's like a piece of metal or something, and you could look at, and have you ever looked at your face in a toaster? I mean, it's kind of distorted, isn't it? You know, and a toaster's probably even shinier than some of those mirrors they had. But you see, you could see dimly, and see, that's the way life is sometimes. We see just dimly. We don't really know what's up ahead. You know, and that's why we need to stay really connected to God. We need to get that 2020 vision. You know, I believe everybody wants to see 2020 and to be able to see, you know, everything correctly. And as we go along here, I believe our goal should be this year is to be able to see 2020 in 2020. Amen? You know, have clarity. I want everybody that's affiliated with this church to be able to see clearly, to have some revelation from God. You know, no matter how old we are in the Lord, whether we're a baby in the Lord or we've been serving God for 50 years, I want us to have that fresh set of eyes where we're looking at this situation. What is it that God wants us to do in this community? What does God want us to change in this community? Are we going to hide out here on the outskirts of town, or are we going to take this town for Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen? What do we want to do? What's our vision? Where do we want to go? I think sometimes we need to rearrange our thinking. You know, some people like to rearrange your rooms all the time. Me, not so much. I like my chair right where it's at, perfect angle, have my laptop right beside me. It's marvelous. I mean, it's a great spot. And I don't want to change that. But I do know some people, they rearrange their rooms periodically. They move their beds around and all that. And, you know, it just kind of gives them a fresh look. And me, I just choose to maybe take a different route home every now and then. You know, that way I don't get locked in a rut. But, you know, sometimes we need to rearrange our thinking, because our thinking will get us into trouble. See, wrong thinking will cause us not to see the right thing. You know, what happens is that as you get older in the Lord, we're used to so many different things that we kind of know what the outcome's going to be. You know, I mean, if you've been serving God a while, you kind of know what to expect. But I believe God wants us to get to the place to expect the unexpected. Amen? Something fresh. Something fiery. Something beautiful that God wants to reveal to us. But to do that, we have to be looking at things a little bit different. We need to be thinking a little bit different. You know, we just don't want to think that, well, we've done it this way for years, so we're continually do it that way. See, fallen nature focuses on the problem, not the potential. You know, we have a tendency to pick on the weak, right? Pick on the wrong things. You know, we can, you know, like I've told the youth one time, you know, they may have a good hair day. I haven't had a good hair day since 1979. But, you know, they can have a good hair day. Beautiful outfit. And their eyes are all done. I'm talking about girls right now, but not the guys. Amen. But all of a sudden, there's one little red dot shows up on their cheek. What do they see? They don't see their hair. They don't see their eyes. All they see is that one little red dot. And see, that's the problem we have. We look at our failures, and we don't look at our potential. We look at what we do wrong instead of what we do right. And we need to change that. We need to start, because you're never going to get better focusing on your failure. You're only going to get better when you focus on your successes and start doing the things that we're successful at and to be able to accomplish that for God. Now, as we're doing this 2020 vision, we need to be ready for some resistance, because we live in a system, like I mentioned, where the god of this world, meaning Satan, is somewhat in a little bit of control. He has the control, and it's mostly deception. And what happens is when we step out in faith and we start to follow the things that God, you know, has called us out to do, all of a sudden there's going to be some pushback and sometimes some blowback. You know what I mean? You know, I've had some pushback, but every now and then, boom, just something blows back at me, you know? I mean, the devil just doesn't like it. He doesn't want me, you know, reaching out. He doesn't want me to go to the jail out here and minister to the people in jail. He doesn't want me to do extra Bible studies to try to help people in their walk with God. So when them things happen, you know, I know the enemy, but I've been around long enough to know that. So be prepared. Know this, that the greater one's in you, and you're going to be able to accomplish. Last point I want to see today, I want to share the church vision just briefly, a little about church vision, because vision propels us to action. And we have to have that ingrained deep down in our spirit. If we could put that next slide up. You know, this is our vision for the church. It's talking about influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. That's what our driving force, hopefully, for each and every one of us. Did you know you influence people? No matter, it can be good influence or bad influence. I tell a lot of people, why not use your powers for good and not evil? Amen? You know, you're a very good talker. People follow you. And I tell that to some of the kids in the church. They're not in here right now. But I know when I hear feedback from the teachers when they say so-and-so's a chatterbox and they're kind of distracting all the other kids. Well, they don't know that I'm doing this, but I'll pull that kid aside the next week and I'll say, hey, you know, God, you're a leader. The other kids follow you. Why don't you try to lead them in a good way? And they do. See, we all have influence. Even from a little child on up, we can influence those around us. And you need to see yourself as a person of influence, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. You know, we need to be looking for opportunities to help others in their journey, and that's all it's about. You may not know everything about God. You may not know the book of Revelation. You may not know all the different things that you feel you need to do before you can say something. All you have to do is tell people what you know. Don't make stuff up. Now, believe me, you'll get in trouble doing that. But only tell them what you know. See, if you find somebody that doesn't know as much as you and you tell them what you know, you've helped them one or two steps on their journey. That's all you can do. And then study some more and get some more information. But don't limit yourself thinking you don't know enough. If you know that God loves you and you know you've given your life to Jesus Christ and he's changed your life and you know that you're a saved person and you're going to heaven, well, you're there. Share that with other people. Tell them what you know. And I'll guarantee you this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you start giving out, God will put back in. It just works that way. God will keep putting back in you. He's going to reveal more things to you. He's looking for people that's willing to go and to share, not somebody just wants to stay and to hoard. You know what I mean? So reach out to those around you at work and wherever they may be. See yourself as a difference maker. You make a difference in people's lives. The key is that hurt people hurt people. We all know that, right? Have you ever been around somebody that's hurt? And they'll go around hurting everybody around them. But I want to turn that around today. Helped people help people. That's what we are. God has helped us. We've helped each other in our walk with God. So in turn, we need to go out and help other people. Be able to see them, you know, ministered to. And show them the love of God and what God can do. I was a shy little farm boy. I never had no desire to ever do anything like this. But God got a hold of me and other people started to speak into my life. Things started to change dramatically. We don't know who we're helping. We might be helping, you know, somebody that's going to make one of the greatest impacts on the world for the body of Christ. We just need to reach out. Trust God. Let God be in control. I read this, and I think it's a good quote. We need to be Christ-centered and harvest-focused. Those are the two things. Christ-centered and harvest-focused. And that's my last point. I want you to think about that. Are we Christ-centered? And that's good. A lot of Christians become Christ-centered. They surrender their life to Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. We used to do that at the youth things. I don't know if some of these younger... Was you in on that, Megan, sometime when we did that at Choir of the Fire? You know, our youth group, we had dynamic youth groups, and they'd be screaming over all the crowd, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? And then all the rest of the crowd, they'd all do chants and battle of the chants or whatever. You know, it was a good time. Christ-centered. But I want us to beat the next step. Talking about harvest focused. We need to be thinking about the lost. I don't know about you. I still kind of remember what I felt like before I knew Jesus. You know, I was lost. I didn't know what was going to happen to me when I died. I had a little bit of fear about that. But yet, you know, when I became, people did reach out to me. I was evangelized by several people before I finally surrendered my life. So you may evangelize somebody and they may not accept Christ right then, but you've helped them one more step. And that's what we need to see, is that we're just trying to get people closer to God. And when we do that, we're doing the work of Jesus Christ. So, closing, as we enter this new year of 2020, where we have an extra day, amen, I want us to think about that. Are we harvest focused? Is there people I can reach for Christ? Let's pray.